Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Shoujo. I'm your host, Thera, as always, joined by the wonderful Joe, putting the Joe in Shoujo, of which here on our podcast, we cover Shoujo anime series, recap, discuss them. And this is our fifth series, I believe, that we're covering. Is that right?
I think so. Because it was what? Angelic Lair, Kimi ni Todoke, Skip Beat,
Chihayafuru. And now Rosa Versailles.
That's only five.
Right? That makes this our fifth.
Yeah, fifth.
Yeah. So that's us. And before we jump into our coverage of episodes 25, 26, and 27 of the Rose of Versailles, we'll catch up here now. So why don't you tell me and all our lovely listeners about a week in the life of Joe.
I had another birthday party weekend, which means I stayed up to like 4:30 last night.
Oh my God.
I didn't want to. It like ended up like I had to drop somebody off. So the logistics made me spend like an hour extra being awake than I needed to be.
Oh, but no.
Even still, it was another weekend of doing stuff. But I think that's it. I think I'm off the birthday circuit now. I don't think I have any coming up. So I can finally go to sleep, essentially. Yes,
you
so
deserve to sleep.
Yeah. Yep. That was a lot of it. A lot of going out to places and drinking and going to nice dinners or whatever.
Well, nice dinner sounds good. That sounds very nice.
No, it's good. A lot of socializing, a lot of not being home and being able to do chores.
Do what you want.
Like laundry and stuff like that. So I got to do all that this week. Oh, boy. Yeah. So it was a lot. It was a lot of time spent doing stuff. My schedule is too full for the last 2 weeks. But now, hopefully, I should have more time to get things done. I'll have more time to watch things. I have not been watching Gundam, for example. I've been putting that off for a while.
No.
I have been listening to the Dark Force Rises audiobook about one of the Star Wars ones. So that's been hopefully I'll be able to finish that. So it's a lot of like midpoint stuff. I guess I did watch a movie on Thursday called The Breadwinner, which is an animated movie.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it is about a little girl who lives in Kabul during the Taliban's rule at the beginning of the war on terror and stuff like that. And it's about trying to survive through that. It was a cool movie.
I have heard of this.
Actually. Oh, you have? Okay.
Right. It's been around for a bit. Like,
yeah, it's from 2017.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Like
that sounds familiar now. Nice.
Yeah. I was like watching some animated movies. Big on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do love animation here. On Shoujo.
Mm-hmm. So
nice. All right. Okay. I have anything more exciting than that. I guess I think I told you this, but as far as the podcast knows, I had rehomed that dog as of our last recording. But freaking person I was gonna rehome him to like bailed like 2 hours before, which is dumb. And it's fine. He wasn't the one, but tomorrow, deja vu again, gonna be meeting with someone who I've actually met in person before. So, and she specifically was saying she wanted to find a dog before I mentioned I had this stray dog. So hopefully they like him, take him. And then I just have Cricket, who's like a breeze to take care of, and he's not a bad dog, but certainly like just a big dog comes with a lot more energy, naturally. So, and he's so young, so it'll just be good to, cause I've just been tired. Not that I'm doing that much more than normal, but just kind of sleeping's been weird and eating been weird. So hopefully things just kind of settle down. Let's see.
Yeah.
I helped a friend move a bit today.
Oh.
That was
always
fun.
Rough.
Well, it's not that bad. Thank goodness it was cloudy outside, but also it was more of like packing than like physically moving heavy things for this.
Okay.
But yeah, just a friend who is super busy and I don't get much time to hang out with. So I'll take whatever I can get of her time to hang out, even if it's just helping her move. But yeah, that's it. Plans to play that repo game tonight with a posse. So hopefully that's fun. It's going to be kind of a blended group of people I just happen to know. Mm-hmm. The ones of coworkers, you know, people I know in person versus like people I've never met. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, look at me trying a new game, a little kind of horror game, of which I do not play those very much. So we'll see how that goes.
That should be fun.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see. I'm like feeling tired, so we'll see if I don't. I'll just have to
power through.
I just got to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotta do it. Sometimes you just gotta stay up till 4. Well, that way.
No. Nah.
Uh huh.
I haven't done that in some time. I guess I did that like on February 13th is the last time I stayed up late like that, and not often, but.
When was that? Why do you have that?
Because I went to like a singles. Oh wait, no, is that right? No, that's not right. Where did I go? That was out until late. Oh, never mind. This is like in January. Like went to a friend's kind of housewarming party, and then they went out, and then it just took a while before I got home. So I did get home at like 4 in the morning. That's when it was. Never mind. Okay, but anyways, nothing super exciting going on over here. Just the usual.
You saying you're playing a game did remind me that I actually beat a game recently. I beat Citizen Sleeper, a game from 2022. Oh, okay. It's like a fairly short role-playing game. I played it on PC because I have it on Game Pass, where you are like a robot that has had like a human mind implanted in it, which makes you a sleeper, is what they call you. And you find yourself on this space station called the Eye after like the ship you were on crashed, or like you kind of don't have your memories and stuff. So you're just trying to like survive on there, and you talk to different people and you can do various jobs and try to get money to survive and do all these other things. The gameplay is mostly like every day you get like a certain number of dice rolls. And you decide what you're going to do kind of based on that. So it's like really narrative heavy. It's like a really cool game. Where you interact with a bunch of different characters and they have all these different plot lines. Like you can get involved with like this mercenary who's trying to fix her ship, and that kind of leads to a whole thing. Or you can become a regular at the bar and you meet the bartender and you start doing stuff with that. And I had a really good time with it. I only got one ending. I kind of liked that ending, so I don't know if I want to like go back and do the other ones, because you can kind of just pick off from like where that ended. Maybe I should, because there's some extra stuff I could do. There's like some DLC type things, I think, that could be good. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's like very fun.
Good. I'm glad you found a good one. Your games are so much shorter. So you just have so many more games that you've played than me, because mine take an eternity.
Yeah, I can't do the open world thing. That's what takes all the time, I feel like.
Well, I've just been, you know, on and off playing Monster Hunter for the last, you know, last month. So I haven't had much else to speak about, but yeah, well, that's what's been going down in our lives. I guess we can go to see what's going down for Lady Oscar stuff that's happening.
Yeah, real Lady Oscar energy this next episode.
Oh, for real. Grandma Nana was so excited.
I know. All right, let's let's go ahead and get into it, because I feel like I'm going to have several things to say about these three episodes. So The Rose of Versailles, episode 25, is called Unrequited Love's Minuet. We open on Oscar and Andre doing target practice, which mostly just involves like Andre throwing bottles in the air and Oscar shooting them with one or two pistols at the same time. It's very funny. They finish up the day.
Very just Lara Croft vibes with the... Like, I feel like those were not accurate back then, let alone now, to do dual wielding of pistols. So impossible.
Yeah, it's very funny. They finish up for the day and Andre tosses an apple to Oscar like in a big arc. And while the apple hangs in the air, it suddenly is shot and explodes. They turn to see a man on a horse who greets them as Count Fersen. He's back. It's Fersen. He shot that apple. He shot Andre's apple. And it's no one is happier to see him than Oscar, who like run towards him while Andre just watches.
This was a lot. I was like, girl, you're not playing it cool. Like, this is you gotta keep your composure, you know?
She like, does not keep her composure at all.
No, I don't like it.
She is so giddy to see him. It's kind of endearing. Yep. I'll just say in these three episodes, Andre taking gigantic L's across the board.
Yes, for just freaking no joke.
Yeah.
Back to back, really.
We cut to Oscar, Ferguson, Andre and Granny having dinner. First explains that he took longer to get back to France because he'd been injured and had to recover in America. But he's fine now, though. They don't really say... Did they say what he got injured with? I don't think so. He's
like, I just had to recover. No, like an illness or something. I don't remember what.
Maybe.
Yeah, he just got sick.
Yeah. That's why he took so long to get back. Oscar insists that Fersen stay with her for however long he wants. A week, a month, forever. I don't know.
Fersen... Oh, my God. No.
Dear God, it's Oscar.
It's too much.
She's like, Quite Rosalie cool. left. We have an open... You know, we got an also empty nest.
Freaking Fersen's hair is wild right now.
Yeah.
And also he's been affected by the big chin.
Oh, yeah.
He's been, not as hot as he used to be.
He has been big chinified because he's a mature man now. He's been to war and back.
It's been 7 years.
That's true.
That's crazy.
A lot can happen to you physically in 7 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Fersen is overjoyed.
For sure.
He's glad to have such good friends. He says that when he left to America, he was prepared to die, but now he's glad that he's alive. They all have a toast to Fersen's return. It's the next morning, and Oscar sees Fersen walking around the grounds really early. She catches up with him at a fountain and asks if he's going to go see Marie. He says that after he ran away, he thinks that could be the end of their love affair. Like, that could just be the end. It could have just ended with me going to America. I definitely won't see her later this episode. And he's like, actually, I returned to France so he could confirm that he's over her. What better way to confirm that you're over your ex than going to see them or like going to your hometown again?
Oh, my gosh.
And he's like, hey, it's Oscar,
making me mad.
Do me a favor. Don't tell anybody that I'm here. Everybody just falling over, tripping over themselves. Unforced errors all around.
That's like your new phrase, unforced errors.
This is not my new phrase. I just say that.
But okay, you said it last episode.
That's because this is a show of unforced errors.
Yeah, it's because at first I was like, yeah, Fersen. And then it just freaking goes back on that immediately. I have things to say about Fersen at the end of this episode. Let me tell
you. It's so funny to be like, I'm over her. And you're like, yay. And he's like, and that's why I'm here. And I'm like, I don't know if that's somebody who's over it would do. Later, Fersen and Andre are sparring and riding horses. They seem to be having a pretty good time together, which is nice. I like it when they can just be bros. But all Oscar can do is look on at Fersen and wonder if he's really over Marie. Because if he is over Marie, then that makes him like totally available, you know? And she thinks about how Fersen is the only man that Oscar could love.
All of a sudden. Let us dream for a second, at least.
Yep. We can all have fantasies here. Later, they're all hanging out in the parlor. Fersen congratulates Oscar on being promoted to a brigadier for her work on the Diamond Necklace affair. So I guess that didn't end as suspiciously as we thought it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she just got promoted. So good for her, I guess. Doesn't get a change of outfit, though. Still wearing the red.
Nah.
Suddenly a carriage drive-by happens, which is just a thing that happens. They just drive by and shoot guns out of the carriage, and all the windows get shot out. Andre is like pushed, like sent forward, but he's not hit or anything. Andre and Oscar have to explain to First that the royal family's approval rating's in the toilet, and it's only been getting worse since the diamond necklace affair. Hey, First, have you heard about the diamond necklace affair? It was wild. Oh, we gosh. Cut the old school drive-by was very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
We cut to the pirate man declaring that the age of nobility is coming to an end. Nearby, an angry mob gathers to denounce the nobility as First and Oscar and Andre watch on incognito, kind of. The pirate man. What?
Pirate guy back.
Yeah,
he's we got back. The pirate he's guy. He's a regular character now.
That's right. He is a voice of the people. He like recalls a list of people who died from starvation and curses the upper class. First and then sees a picture of Marie stabbed with a bunch of knives and thinks about how bad things have gotten in his absence. How could this have happened? Back at the Jarjay's manor, First and tells Oscar that he's decided to go see Marie after all. Things have gotten so bad that maybe she'll listen to his guidance, you know. Also, he's totally not over her, you know. He's
no.
like, I'm still in love with her. And Oscar is like, yeah, I guess you should go then.
No bed.
Nobody can learn anything. It's impossible.
Ugh.
My man went off to war to get over her, and then he just comes right back. Day one. We cut to Marie's villa in Versailles as she sees Fersen and is overjoyed. Back at the Jarjays, Oscar is moping. She goes to play some sad piano. And we get a montage of her doing target practice with Andre as she tries not to think about Fersen. It's not going good.
Nope.
Back at the villa, Fersen conveys that the people are discontented with the royal family to Marie. And he's like, but don't worry, I'm here to help. Also, in a lot of words, he basically says that he's still in love with her. Just basically Ugh. Spells well, that it's whole out.
Stupid that they're both just like, we're not going to do anything, but we're also not going to let each other like get away from this.
Yeah.
So we're just going to be stuck in time forever.
We're not going to make this work, but we're also not going to move on. So it'll just work itself out, you know? What could go wrong?
It's been 7 years. She has freaking children now.
She sure does.
She should be busy, too busy to have.
Well, she's not doing her job still, so. Oscar never told her to go do her job, apparently.
No, so now this guy is.
So we got to make Fersen do it. Back at target practice.
Thing.
Yeah. Back at target practice, Andre talks about migratory birds and how they're free to fly the skies, but always return to the same place. Nobody can stop those birds. Kind of like a certain guy we know, am I right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Love Andre just saying stuff.
Yep.
Back in Versailles, Fersen tells Marie that she needs to leave this villa and go back to holding court with the nobility and distance herself from Polignac. She can't lose the favor of the people and the nobility at the same time. That would be a disaster. He says that if she does those things, he'll stay with her forever. He'll devote his life to France. The only thing that will get Marie to do her job.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar starts playing some piano as Andre gets angry that she's upset. Later
I
at
mean,
a
moment. I- hmm. I can see it being frustrating, being like, we already went over this.
Yeah, oh my
Oscar,
God.
Why aren't you ready for this again?
It's just terrible time for Andre. He's like, oh, great. First is here. And we're right back into angst mode. Right where we left off 7 years ago. Nothing has changed somehow.
That we now express our emotions through piano play.
Yeah, except we've gotten really good at playing piano, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Later at a ball, the nobles gossip about how Marie is basically done everything First and has asked. Andre tells Oscar that Polignac is losing favor and Marie is supposed to go back to Versailles today. So I guess First and really pulled it off. So good for him. Also, we learn he's been made a reserve colonel of the army regiment. So he's got a job, too. He's sticking around.
Mm-hmm.
Later, Oscar is prepping the troops for an escort job because the queen's going to go somewhere or something. But Oscar can't help but look over at Fersen when he appears on a nearby balcony. Ah, so distracting, that handsome Fersen standing in the balcony. During the escort, some men ride up on horses and try to throw a bomb at the queen. They're all shot down pretty easily, but one of them manages to ride away. Oscar pursues, following him to an abandoned church. She finds him dying in a room, having been shot. He dies after firing a misguided shot, but for some reason, Oscar can only think about Fersen while trying to pursue this dead guy. She's like, why am I thinking about Fersen? What's going on?
The dynamite's back.
The Dynamite. They're doing it right. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, we got to see the little boy. So he's like the son of Marie. So he's
Louis.
Talking age, yeah.
Little Louis here, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The troops recover the man, but Oscar tells Andre to put Ghirardelle in charge because she's leaving and she rides off. She thinks to herself how Fersen has returned to his one true love. Even after 7 years, he could never get over Marie. Just like how Oscar can't get over him now, I guess. For the first time, she has wanted something as a woman.
Yep.
We cut to the Jarjay's manor as Granny gathers dressmaking supplies. Andre is like, what you doing? And she tells him that she's making a dress for Oscar. And Andre is like, I'm sorry, you're doing what? Oscar gets ready as Andre tries to figure out what the hell is happening. Granny calls Andre to go see Oscar, and he is enraptured by her. She's so beautiful. We don't get to see her, though. We cut to the ball, where all the ladies are dazzled by Lady Oscar. She's here as Lady Oscar. I can't believe it. They're so charmed that nobody recognizes her, including Fersen, who's like, you seem kind of familiar. Don't I know you? She ignores him, so he asks her to dance. She agrees, and Oscar and Fersen dance together for one night only. Fersen tries to ask her questions like, where are you from? But she stays silent. And then he just starts talking about how she looks like someone he knows who's very smart and beautiful and brave. She's his most precious and beautiful friend, he says. Oscar stumbles a little after hearing this, and Fersen catches her on her lower back. We get like multiple shots of this.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, I mean, God, deja vu. We'll talk about it.
He starts to maybe recognize her, so Oscar runs away, a la Cinderella. She stops at a fountain and thinks about how she got to be embraced by Fersen's strong arms and have him look only at her. And she's like, that was enough. I'm definitely could get over him now. As an ominous wind blows over her as we cut to credits.
Okay. Oh my God. Like, this is just like when Fersen and Marie met at that masquerade ball, but basically he's like, ooh, hot chick, let me come talk to you. And like, he was just talking about how he's still in love with Marie, but then he's like, ooh la la, who's this new hot lady? I'm like, you're fickle, you're shallow.
Okay.
Like, you don't even like Marie as a person. Okay. You just,
I feel like you're allowed to dance with people at balls. I feel like that's like a big, I don't think this is cheating.
He was like,
you know what I mean? I think it's mostly just cheating. Well, that's true. He's not in a relationship, technically. But, like, him just being like, oh, I need to get this chick's attention. The only way I can is by asking her to dance. Let's do that. And then he's just like, this is, like, so, oh, yeah, first is the guy who couldn't tell that Oscar was a woman. He also can't recognize her when he's right in front of her.
Uh-huh.
Like, bro, you are not observant. I'm sorry. You're so bad at this.
How did we think Oscar looked?
She looked pretty good.
Yeah.
She pulled it off.
I feel like her dress was much more stylish than more subtly.
Yeah.
Pretty dress. Get it, Granny. What could have been?
Yeah. She should be opening a dress shop. You shouldn't got to do this.
Yeah. That's for real. I know. The one and only time, probably.
Mm-hmm.
At least Andre got to see it too, I guess.
That's true. It wasn't for him, though. Rip Andre.
No. Yeah, that's nice.
I'm going to be real here. I don't think dancing with the guy you're in love with and being embraced by him is the way you're going to get over him. I just don't think that's how you do it. I'm going to be real here.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just see how involved he's going to be from here on out, or if it's just like, oh, he's just there now doing nothing with his life. As this all goes to shit.
How do we think Marie introduces him to her kids? Like, who is this? Is this uncle?
Old friend of mine or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's gotta
be they'll
weird.
Probably be closer to him than they are their own father. So, what if they start calling him dad?
Oh, that'd be so good.
Goodness.
That would be so good. This episode's great. I love how Oscar just gets to be a hot mess this episode.
Did he cut his hair too?
Person?
Person before he went to meet Marie Antoinette.
I think he probably did. Yeah. I think he looked like he used to a little bit.
Yeah. His hair was long before.
Yeah. I like this episode.
I think it's
messy Oscar. Messy Oscar romance where she doesn't say anything. Nobody ever declares anything except for Farson and Marie, kind of, at the very last second.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I guess, like, being openly certain about things is probably not the go-to strategy for most folks. It's more like unspoken stuff so that you can't be called out,
sort
of mentality. So I guess that makes sense that no one's straight up in this setting.
Yeah, well, it's very funny that Andre, like Oscar, I feel like Andre just knows everything, you know what I mean? He's still just like, yep, I can see what's happening here, I can see why you're playing mad piano right now. Yeah, go ahead and do this again. Come on, Oscar, just get over him. She is not gonna.
Nope.
I like how Oscar is always like characterized by everybody as being like, oh, she's so like bold and like brave and courageous and all this other stuff. But like when it comes to the thing that she wants, doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just
nope.
Like, oh, I need to just not want this. I need to just suppress my emotions about this. Or even if I recognize my emotions about it, we're not going to do anything. I'm not going to fight for this at all. Like, don't worry about it.
Yep, just give it to Marie Antoinette because she doesn't already have everything.
She already has more. Everything. This is just like, Jean was right. Doesn't the queen just have everything? She also needs this, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Ugh, bummer.
Yeah.
The end of romance, unless Andre confesses and they get shot down.
I don't know if it's looking so good based on how these episodes go.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yep.
But let's get to it.
Yep.
The Rose of Versailles, episode 26, is called I Want to Meet the Black Knight. We open on a fancy ball. A masked man wearing all black grapples his way in and steals a bunch of jewels. And then he makes a swift getaway at the ball. The nobles are all incensed that they've been robbed.
I don't like that we like drop from two stories onto the horse's back. That poor horse.
The horse is
bad
into it.
For it.
That horse is also
we
do some horses like, get shot. Yeah, there's some stuff going on in this episode with horses. We've seen some coins and rings drop into a basement apartment of some poor peasants. They're overjoyed because with the money that they just got dropped on, they can afford a doctor for their dad and buy food. Wow. The masked man rides into the night as the OP plays. At the Jarge's manor, Granny is making a big production of locking all the doors, and Oscar's like, what's all this then? And Granny says that the Black Knight is at large. We gotta make sure we don't get robbed. Oscar asks if she's seen Andre around, but Granny says that he's been going out at night recently. Later, Andre gets in late, and Oscar asks where he's been. He offers some lame excuse, and Oscar sees some jewels in his pocket. They both go to bed. At Versailles, the nobles gossip about the Black Knight. Oscar wonders who it could be. It's probably Andre, she thinks. We see that earlier in the morning, Andre claims to have found those jewels on the ground last night and gives it to Oscar to return. Later, Oscar tells Andre that she's going to every ball from now on to catch the Black Knight. Andre is like, okay, but like, isn't that like the military police's job? Why are you getting involved? But Oscar says that we're doing it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it, mm-hmm. Andre. Help me catch the Black Knight, Andre. The guy who totally isn't the Black Knight. Oscar and Andre go to some balls, but nothing happens. Oscar speculates that the Black Knight must know that she's looking for him. Well, how could he know that? And then she looks at Andre, who's just not paying attention. Very good.
Yeah.
The next morning, Andre asks if they really need to go through all this effort for the Black Knight. He's like, apparently he's, you know, like stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. He's like a Robin Hood. That's not even that bad of a dude. And Oscar says that he's... that a thief is still a thief. And Andre is like, yeah, I guess. So he agrees with his boss.
Mm-hmm.
Later that night, Oscar is going to another ball, but can't find Andre. Granny tells her that Andre said he'd be a couple hours late. So Oscar decides to go without him. At that ball, the Black Knight is clinging to the ceiling, holding a bag. He has somehow pickpocketed the attendees while they were there, which is incredible. He jumps onto the chandelier and rides it through the window to make his escape. It's so funny. Oscar tries to give chase, but loses him in Paris near the Palace Royale where the Duke Orléans lives.
This reminded me of the opening of Persona 5.
Yeah.
Where you're like on the chandelier and the party trying to escape. Yeah.
It's so funny because you can see him up there like trying to position himself so he can ride the chandelier in like a big production. Like he loves this stuff. I love the Black Knight. It's so good. This whole time I'm like, I really hope it's Andre because this is so good king shit from Andre if it's him. The narrator tells us that there have been rumors that dissidents have been gathering at the Palace Royale lately. So Duke Orleans becoming an anti-royalist.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, Oscar's hit in the back of the head by some shady men. She makes a narrow escape, but is bleeding from her head. She passes out in an abandoned room somewhere. She has a nightmare where it's revealed that Andre is the Black Knight. He rides off while laughing menacingly, but then she imagines him dying and wakes up. She's in a bed, and some woman is there tending to her. Another woman enters, and we see that it's Rosalie. She's here in this random apartment in Paris. And Oscar embrace. Oscar asks Rosalie why she's here instead of with Madame Polignac. Rosalie explains that Polignac just wanted to marry her to that creepy vampire guy in place of Charlotte, so it's exactly what we thought would happen. She says the nobility only care about themselves and that she hates them all, and then she's like, oh, sorry, Oscar, but Oscar's like, yeah, it's okay. Anyway, she says that she ran away to live with her old neighbor, who's the other woman. They bring Oscar some soup, but joke that it's mostly just hot water, and they all have a little laugh about it. Oscar drinks the soup and is very gracious about the whole thing.
Okay, so I was thinking we were going to see what it was like living with Madame Polignac and this and that, so I'm surprised this got, like, cut, and we're just straight to... And she's all radicalized now, and so how much time has passed since she moved out, because Rosalie's changed...
I wish I could have seen Rosalie's escape. I wish she got to like sword fight a guard on the way out. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see her burst out the window and jump onto a horse. Yeah. I need to see Rosalie sword fight somebody. She still hasn't. There's still plenty of time.
Well, I'm thinking that she's going to end up being like part of the revolution, and maybe she'll get to use her skills there.
Yeah, this next interaction really solidifies that. Rosalie tells Oscar that she works at the market now, which is hard work, but it's not too bad. Oscar offers to take Rosalie back in, but she refuses, saying that she loves the city and feels more at home here than anywhere else. Oscar gets a taxi home and thinks about how Rosalie doesn't even have proper soup, but she still wants to stay there. And then she sees a rally in support of the Black Knight and thinks to herself about the situation, the political situation. Back at home, she is slumped over in front of a fireplace. Andre comes in and says that she should have waited for him to come back before going to that ball. But Oscar demands to know where he has been going at night, and he agrees to show her. He takes her out into the countryside to a church where farmers and radical priests study Enlightenment writings about fair taxation and the equality of all men. Oscar and Andre attend for a little bit. On the way back, Andre admits to Oscar that even though he lives among the nobility, he is just a commoner. But even he can hear the coming of a new era, and he says he wants to be part of it, which is why he goes to these study groups at night. Oscar asks if the Black Knight will bring in a new era. She's like, oh, is he a conduit of this? And Andre is like, I don't know about that. He just seems like a thief, but he sure represents the actual animosity that people have towards the nobility. So that part is real. Oscar declares that she wants to meet the Black Knight to see what he truly is. She says she won't ask Andre to help him, though, so I guess I'll go it alone. Later, Oscar is donning a Black Knight outfit, and Andre is like, oh, I see, you're gonna try to, like, lure him out by impersonating him. That's a good plan, except you're, like, pretty small and also very blonde. But he's like, yes. But I look like the Black Knight, though, so I should just do it. He cuts his hair, which surprises Oscar, and puts on the outfit. Because I guess she didn't notice that the Black Knight's hair is shorter than him, because she does not look at Andre very closely.
Andre looks good with the shorter hair.
He does. He looks just like the Black Knight. It's great.
Yeah.
Andre goes on a crime spree in like the best sequences this show has had so far, where he steals a bunch of jewels and stuff as Oscar watches on. It's so good. Some time passes and Andre has collected a huge amount of jewels. Oscar tells him that they'll have to give it back, but until then, keep stealing until the real Black Knight shows up to confront us. Then she tells him that when this is over, he's free to use his evenings however he wants, if he wants to go study, you know, radical theory or whatever. Andre tells Oscar that, frankly, the tides are turning against the nobility. She says that when that happens, he doesn't need to hesitate, because he's not a noble after all. And Andre is incensed. He's like, are you serious? Like, you think you can't read between the lines at all? You think I just brought you to that church for fun? You don't see that I'm trying to get you in on this, too? I'm trying to save your soul, Oscar.
Gosh.
It's about time for them to ride out again when a crow rams Oscar's hand and shatters her teacup. She says that that's a bad omen, but Andre is like, I don't know, man. That was probably just some birds. Andre is the Black Knight, scales a castle wall with some daggers. It's incredible. He just like shoves them in and shimmies his way up. He steals a bunch of jewels, and while riding off, he's ambushed by the real Black Knight, who accuses him of stealing to fulfill his own greed because he's not giving back to the poor. And Andre is like, yeah, is that so? And Oscar comes out of the shadows with a gun. The real Black Knight charges Andre, and they start sword fighting. Oscar can't take a shot because they're too close, and also they're wearing the exact same outfit. The fight goes okay, but then suddenly the Black Knight slashes Andre's left eye and he falls. Oscar thinks back to the omen she had earlier and calls to Andre as we cut to credits.
Okay, the Black Knight, I'm like, is he from a circus or something? Because he does this insane, like, flip in the air. Yeah. Like, somersault in the air. It was crazy.
Like, Oscar emerges with a gun pulled on him, and he's like, oh, yeah. And then he does, like, a backflip to, like, sword fight Andre. It's so funny.
It was crazy. I made a note that basically with, like, Rosalie's new mentality, and we see that Andre is starting to, like, embrace this more. It's like, Oscar, you're the only one who isn't changing right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're still set in your old ways, and that's not getting you anywhere.
Yeah, I definitely have some more to say about that at the end of this, but this is the biggest, like, Andre is trying to, he's trying to help you, Oscar.
Yeah. Well, because he probably knows that she probably, like, deep down more sympathizes with the cause than with the royals, but duty versus desire. And
Well, ugh. Oscar has some pretty strong blind spots.
Yes.
I'll talk about it more when we get to the next thing. But this is the way this episode ends, or the next episode ends, is very interesting about, like, I mean, I'm kind of always thinking about in this show from these episodes on, when we get to the revolution, right? Like, where is Oscar going to be, like, physically, mentally, and emotionally? And that is going to, I think, determine whether she lives or dies. And also maybe whether Andre lives or dies. We'll see.
Yeah, he's been put through the ringer. He cut his hair. Now he's got a gash on his face, on his eye. Yep. So a big old scar. His image is changing quite a bit.
About to get worse for him.
Yep.
The Rose of Versailles, episode 27, is called Even If I Should Lose the Light. We open on Oscar rushing to a half-blinded Andre while the Black Knight runs away. We cut to the Jarjay's manor, where a doctor says that Andre needs to keep his eye bandaged, otherwise he might lose sight in it permanently. Andre asks Oscar what happened with the Black Knight, but Oscar says that he got away because she had to go tend to him. The sun comes up, and Andre says he's glad it was him that got injured and not her.
You know what? It's like anytime they say, now, don't do that or this is going to happen, means that that's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
When the doctor advises against something, you know, that's like,
that's called writing, baby.
Yeah.
The doctor's got to be like, hey, if you do this thing, it'll be really bad. You better only do it if the person you love is in danger. And Andre's like, you got it, boss. I'll only do this if the person I love is in danger.
Yep.
Elsewhere, the Black Knight leads a crew of men to steal some guns en route to the capital. They overwhelm the guard force and steal the guns in, like, what feels like a big escalation of, like, confrontation that the Black Knight is doing. He's got guys working for him now. He's got, like, a whole little industry.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the Jarjays, General Jarjays tells Oscar that 200 guns have been stolen by the Black Knight. How could this have happened? Upstairs, Andre still has some vision in his left eye, but it's very faint, and he needs more time to recover. We cut to Oscar chasing the Black Knight again, because I guess she, like, got on his tail, all the way back to the Palace Royale. She decides that she needs to get in there. She gets an official invitation from the Duke, or she asks for an official invitation from the Duke and is let in. She meets with Duke Orleans, who seems amused that Oscar would want to meet with him. He's like, all right, like, we don't need to be so formal. I'm not really that formal. What do you want? What do you want from me, Oscar? And Oscar's like, you know the Black Knight. And Orleans's like, yeah, I've heard of him. He's, like, pretty famous. And Oscar's like, no, you know him personally, don't you? Orleans laughs and says that there's no way he would know anybody that famous. I'm just a humble Duke. But then he's like, hey, you know what? This is fun. It's nice that you just ask me straight up and we don't have to play this little game. Why don't you come to my parlor, Oscar? I invite lots of people here who probably hate you. They might know something about the Black Knight. Oscar and Duke Orleans go to the parlor where a bunch of educated men discuss Enlightenment ideas and anti-royal grievances. Oscar thinks that she's hit the jackpot. Her goal was to go into this parlor full of people who probably hate her. I don't know what she's thinking. Now she just needs to suss out the Black Knight, because it's probably one of these guys. Oscar hangs out with these liberals. They talk about Latin and Rousseau, you know, the things that liberals love. In hiding, the Black Knight orders his men to capture Oscar so they can ransom her for some more guns. A man invites Oscar into the wine cellar to meet Duke Orleans. He's like, oh, he wants to talk to you down there. And she just goes and is immediately held at gunpoint and captured. I don't know why she does this.
I know. Oscar, just use your brain.
What if I just went into the lion's den?
Consequence.
And they're like, hey, come into the cave further. And I'm like, sure thing, buddy. And then I get captured. Oh, I didn't think the lions would eat my face. Ah.
Yeah, maybe she's just not like, just how much does she think for herself just day to day?
Dude, she's not a schemer. Maybe
she's just not exercising that brain. No, like, not at all.
She's like, I'm sure the Black Knight will show up and I will gallantly duel him in a sword fight and redeem Andre's honor or something.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I'm going to be led into a cellar and held at gunpoint because obviously I just walked into a place where more people dislike me than like me.
Yep.
Back at home, Andre wraps his eye. Granny tells him that Oscar hasn't been seen in 2 days since she went to the Palace Royale. Elsewhere, Oscar is in prison. She refuses to write a ransom letter to her father asking for 500 guns. The Black Knight tells her to write the letter or else they'll keep her there. And she won't be able to eat and stuff. We come back
with Andre. Like, the doctor has him like disinfecting his eye with something, but like, I guess maybe they just learned that germs are a thing at that point in history. Like that, like, what is he dabbing on his eye?
Yeah, it's probably like alcohol or something.
Yeah, that would be incredibly painful.
But yeah, that would not be fun. We come back to Andre, who decides that he's going to be the one to do something about this. He takes his bandage off, knowing it'll probably blind him, and dons his Black Knight outfit and rides off. At the Palace Royale, Andre sneaks into the basement. He runs into a guard who thinks he's the Black Knight, and they have a brief exchange, but the guard doesn't seem to suspect him. Andre sees that the guard has the keys and takes him out while his back is turned. This is fun. I love Andre doing a little Metal Gear Solid work, you know? A little spy work. That boy deserves a raise.
Yes, for real.
Andre opens Oscar's the door to Oscar's cell, only to see that she set up a trap to ambush him, and she like dives from the ceiling to attack him, but he narrowly gets out of the way and then tells her that it's him. Nearby, the real Black Knight finds the knocked out guard and rushes over to Oscar's cell. Oscar and Andre see him en route, and Oscar decides that they should use this opportunity to capture him instead. Black Knight finds Oscar missing and rushes back, only to be surprised to see Andre dressed as him. He's like, what? And Oscar shoves a gun into his back. Oscar and the real Black Knight ride out from the Palace Royale. A few minutes later, Andre asks the guards if they've seen a guy who's pretending to be the Black Knight. And they're like, oh, wait, that was a fake guy? And he's like, yeah, that was a fake guy. Let me through. And they let him through. He is extremely happy about this. And then his eye starts hurting.
Piece of cake, man.
Dude, he loves this. He's like, he loves being the Black Knight so much.
Yeah.
He should have just been the Black Knight. He's way for better real at this than like doing whatever he's doing, you know?
Horse brushing,
he is a guy meant to be like a thief. This episode the most is I'm like, we'll never get the Andre Jean team up, but it would be so powerful. They would be they'd be unstoppable.
Power couple.
Yeah, exactly. On a hill, Oscar gets off the horse and orders the Black Knight to dismount too. He says no. He doesn't think Oscar's gonna shoot an unarmed man in the back, and he starts to ride off, but then she shoots him in the shoulder and he falls. She says that ordinarily she wouldn't shoot somebody like that, but he's the one who injured Andre, so you had it coming. Andre shows up and is like, oh my, did you kill him? And she says no. Andre removes the mask, and we see that the Black Knight is actually Bernard Chatelet. It's Bernard, the guy, the journalist.
Who's like, hey, Rosalie. Yeah, who hangs out with Robespierre. Gravestone.
Yeah. Apparently he used to be an acrobat or something. I don't know how he could do backflips and is good at sword fighting.
For real. It's crazy.
Back at the Jarjet's estate, Bernard is lying in bed. Oscar tells him that she knows who he is and is going to expose his connection to Duke Orleans. She tells him to focus on recovering, And then they'll decide what to do with him. And Bernard laughs and he's like, well, if you let me recover, I'm just going to escape. But Oscar tells him that while she meant to shoot him in the shoulder, the bullet landed a lot closer to his heart than she wanted it to. If he moves around too much, he could die. And he curses her as she leaves. He tries to move, but can't, so I guess that's true. While walking down the stairs, Andre's eye starts hurting. He's completely lost sight in it, and the doctor scolds him for taking his bandages off and says that the vision is gone forever. Oscar rushes up to a sleeping Bernard and draws her sword as if to kill him, because this is what she always does when something bad happens to her or someone she likes. But then she doesn't honestly, do it because she never does it.
The blindness is more your fault for getting caught in that.
Yes, she could have just waited for him to recover.
He wouldn't have had to.
Yep. But no, she had to go for it. She had to be mad about it and go for it. And the worst plan of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Later, Andre tells Oscar that he can still see out of his other eye, so he hasn't really lost anything. Like, it's, you know, I can still see. It's not that big of a deal. And then he asks her to let Bernard go. After all, he was like stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. That's like kind of an admirable thing, right? You can't really condemn him for doing that. But Oscar is shocked that Andre would be on his side after everything that happened. She's like, Andre, he's a thief. Andre laughs and says, yeah, no, that's right. I guess after losing an eye and pretending to be the Black Knight, I must have like a screw loose, you know, like I was having too good of a time. I'd almost forgotten that I worked for a noble family, he says as he leaves.
Damn.
Yeah.
You do that. You tell her.
Get wrecked, Oscar. Later, we see General Jarjé has come to congratulate Oscar for capturing the Black Knight, but she tells him that it turned out to be the wrong guy. It was just a man pretending to be the Black Knight. He didn't know the stuff he needed to know. It was just kind of a fluke. Later, Oscar asks Bernard what his connection to Duke Orléans was, and Bernard says that other than like hiding in his basement, not really anything. I never really talked to the guy. Oscar tells him to pay 1,000 livres for the 200 guns, and I'll let you go. And is she bribing him? Who is he paying this to?
I don't know.
It's very weird.
I guess she'll just take it to her father.
Yeah. This is the most like, well, you need to, if you pay it, it becomes a transaction, and then you aren't really a thief in my mind. And Bernard is like,
maybe, okay, yeah.
That's weird, but whatever. She tells him that he can lay low with Rosalie while he heals. Bernard thanks her and says he's surprised that she'd let him go. And Oscar tells him to thank Andre and also comments that he might have been a better Black Knight than you, which, I mean, it seemed like they were pretty much on par with each other. She rides off as we cut to credits.
Okay, freaking this guy, Bernard and Rosalie. I am excited for her to nurse him back to health, and they fall in love, and they freaking change the country together.
Oh, yeah. The Black Knight, are you kidding me? She would love that. She almost had her own revenge plot. She knows.
Yes.
They can sword fight. Oh, my God. Right. They can romantically sword fight. The thing she can never do with Oscar, because Oscar is in love with Fursen.
Yep.
Oh, that would be so good.
At least she's let that go. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be so nice.
Yeah, well, because it seemed like that when he followed up with her after her mom got not only ran over but went to the grave of her.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he's into her.
No, that'll be good. That'll be a powerful couple. There will be a power couple for sure.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what did we think about this episode? These set of episodes.
I bet Andre's gonna look cool now.
Oh, dude, he should get an eye patch.
Dig scars.
Yeah.
No.
Oh my God.
No, he should keep.
He should become one of the pirate singers.
Well, maybe they'll become buddies when he's like, Oscar, I've had enough. I'm leaving.
You think he'll leave?
And then to force Oscar's hand, maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to make it dramatic, or he's going to be like, that's my love and now I'm gone kind of thing. I don't know, right? Because he made it sound like he's going to stick with her no matter what. And he just wants her to pick the right side, but he'll be there regardless.
He is so in love with her.
I mean, she's cool and pretty, so I guess it'd be hard not to, especially when she's like so much less shitty than everyone else he's having to work with.
That's true. That's very true.
But the stagnation of her character would be tough to watch. There's no growth.
Yeah. Well, all right, here's my big thought I had about these episodes.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Which is that I can't help think but these last three episodes, I mean, I guess even the first one, is like positioning the main like conflict that's going to arise as being like a struggle over, I don't know what to call it, like Oscar's soul. Is that what you call it? Of like what she feels and does and like what she wants to be motivated by. Because we see throughout the series that she is positioned like she is, like her job is like an administrator of state power, right? Like she works for the king and queen. She like defends the nobility as like part of her job, and tries to like maintain the current order, right? So like the reason she doesn't like the Black Knight is that he like goes against the order, is that he's a thief, right? The fact that he's a thief to help people doesn't really seem to register with her all that much.
Nope. Yeah.
So she objects to all of these sorts of acts that disrupt the order of like what the ASEAN regime should be, or like what the like feudal system should be. And that's both from like the bottom. So like when the Black Knight does stuff, or when, you know, peasants riot or whatever, and also from like the top. So like when Marie doesn't hold court for the nobles, she thinks that's bad, right? Like she is viewing all of these things as bad. When Duke Guimina shoots a child, she also views that as bad because it's like a disruption to how you should behave in the hierarchy, right? Because she like ultimately does believe in the system. However, like we also see, like in contrast with that, she also believes in like people. Like she likes people, right? Like she goes out of her way to help people, and will even like often like defy her role or like stick her neck out to help them. But like that is in line with the system because she also accepts whatever punishment is, right? So like when she saves Andre way back when, she's like, oh, you could just punish me instead. It's not like she's not objecting to the punishment. She's just saying, I'm going to take the bullet for him, right?
Yeah.
And so she's still totally bought into like the system. And so like it just becomes like a tension between being a person who wants to help people be their best in a world that wants people to conform to their roles, right? Like she has crafted Rosalie to be a person that just kind of can't exist in the society. Like what is Rosalie supposed to be? You know, there really isn't anything for her, which is why like she invites her back. But Rosalie's like, I feel more at home here. Like this feels like where I'm supposed to be, not with you in your, you know, villa or whatever, just kind of doing whatever. So like there is a fundamental, there's something fundamentally at odds in like what is going on with Oscar in terms of like how she wants to interact with people and how she wants the people around her to like find happiness and be themselves. And then the system that she's in, which she like wholeheartedly believes in. Right. So I really feel like these, where we're going with the story is like, what is going to give first? Right. Like, is Andre going to be able to push her more towards like reckoning with the system, or is it going to be that she is going to, you know, do her job like her dad wants her to do when the revolution happens? Because it's gonna happen. Like, we know the date that it happens, so I don't know. Like, I don't know where she's gonna end up by then, and I think that tension is really fun, and I'm really enjoying that as part of this show.
Yeah, I feel like it's just gonna end badly.
You don't think she's going to be able to do it?
Oscar.
I feel like these episodes really made it seem like she might. I don't know. Maybe she'll read Rousseau, you know? Maybe she'll get it.
Maybe. It could be too late that she does.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the thing about,
or she feels like she's too far gone. She has to stick with it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the French Revolution, and I've been listening to some more of that revolutions to kind of remind me about stuff that happened, is that like during the early stuff, a lot of the local guard basically rebels in favor of the people, right? So it's like, is she gonna be in that? I mean, she's an officer, so maybe not, but some officers also did, you know. There's an opportunity for her to defect in the history.
Yeah,
but the question is she going to or not? I don't know.
Well, I don't know that she tolerates so much of Marie Antoinette. I have a hard time seeing her leaving her.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah. So unless Marie Antoinette is like, save my kids, take them away or something, I don't think, unless she gets like a direct command from Marie Antoinette to like leave, I don't know that she will.
Yeah.
And Marie Antoinette is not considerate enough to do that.
Right.
For Oscar.
Right. I mean, the question is like, is Oscar going to be able to realize structural problems with the society that she's in? Or is she going to just think, well, these are just bad actors, right? Like, oh, Duke Guimina is just a bad, it's just one bad apple, right? Madame Polignac is just one bad apple. Madame Dewberry is just one bad apple. It's, you know, and eventually you pull all the apples and they're all bad. And it's just like, oh, the system creates these people. This is not, this is a problem with the way things are designed. I don't know if she'll be able to do it, to be honest. But I want Andre to succeed. So. I'm like, Andre needs to make it. Andre needs to make it. I'm not confident that he's going to. I feel like Rosalie will make it now because she's like far
enough away. He'll become the new pirate man who tells the legacy of Oscar Jarjays or something.
Oh, but I want the legacy of Oscar Jarjays to be good.
I don't think it's going to. I just feel like it's going to be dramatic and like, you know, not how we would want it to end.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
We're almost what we only have like 13 episodes left. We got
13 episodes left. That's right.
That's not very many.
No, we were very close to the end.
Freaking, I know.
And it's going to move fast at the end. Like this part of the revolution is going to move real quick.
It's about to go down big time.
Yeah. So we're, I don't know. Is it enough time for Oscar to break out of it?
Well, basically, we're wrapping up all of the side characters. Like,
that's true.
What's going on with them so that it can just focus on plot more.
Yeah. I feel like what have we got left? I mean, I guess we could still do stuff with Oscar and Fursen and Marie. And Andre should say he loves her at some point. But that's kind of it, isn't it? Polignac? We have to deal with Polignac still?
It's like, I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I guess so. Well, no, because Fursen told Marie and she did like start distancing herself from Polignac. So it just maybe a slow like she gets
a fade out.
Yeah. That's what I'm imagining, unless she like does something drastic.
So I'm looking at the title. So the Tennis Court Oath, which is like you're in it, is episode 34. So we have 6 episodes maybe of character drama left before we all start rushing towards Marie getting her head cut off.
Nice. I can't wait for that to happen.
Oh my God.
Well, I haven't been mad about her being annoying because we really aren't having to see her very much now, which is fine by me.
That's true.
Yep.
Ooh.
Freaking. Yeah.
Gonna happen.
Yep.
This show is great.
Exciting. Yeah, it's really good.
I am loving it. I can't believe this is like, I just said we should watch this so that we would have a reference point for watching Utena later. Like this show is not on my radar at all. It was just like a side idea I had. This show is so good.
Utena or this one better?
This is like a much better, like straightforward story wise. Utena is weird and has like a lot of like visually interesting stuff going on. But we can talk about that when we watch that. But it's also more conventional.
This is gonna be a big upset in our ranking at the end.
Yeah.
Do protagonists and love.
Nobody
and
talks stuff about versus... the show. I mean, I guess people talk about the manga sometimes kind of as like a historical point, but
it's really good, and I guess it's more if someone's willing to be like open to watching an older series or not.
Yeah,
because if they are, then this is a very good show. But I feel like a lot of people are just missing it because of that. Maybe they just need to remake the entire. Well, I'm excited to watch when we do the movie.
But I don't
know if that's just like faster version or
We'll definitely
we'll see
watch
how that is.
I don't even notice how old it is anymore. Like, we've watched it for so long, I don't even, like, think about...
I'm not, like, actively watching any other anime either right now to compare it to.
Well, and everything feels more dramatic. Like, when they do, the cut to, like, where they would have commercials and they do, like, the still and it's, like, a painting. I'm like, that's an awesome... I kind of want that. You know what I mean? Like, would want that, like, as a printout. And at the end...
Yeah, the show's gotten more serious, and we have the new director, so I feel like there's less cheesy transitions like there was in the beginning.
It's less cartoony.
Which I think is helping with that,
But, like,
chibi in this show.
The ending shot of, like, her riding away into the sunset, I'm like, that looks great. Or, like, all that stuff. Like, her in the fountain.
Well, they have those, like, drawn over stills throughout the episode, and every time I see one I'm like, okay, that's the end of an episode looking scene there, and then it carries on, because normally I feel like that only happens at the end of shows,
right,
where they do just dramatic like lines over the arc.
Yeah, but it's so good. I'm shocked
peppered throughout
by how much I'm liking
this show. Yeah, it's good. It is good. So we'll have to see if we can't find some more like this, or if this is just one of a kind.
We're going to have to search a little bit deeper. I mean, I think the biggest takeaway from this is that, like, if you just rely on, like, list rankings and, like, what people talk about, you're going to miss stuff like this.
Yep.
So we're going to have to...
Well, hopefully covering it helps with that.
That's true.
Yeah. More appreciation. We'll look around
some
more and
find some other stuff, because maybe there's some other gems that we've just missed out on because we're not part of the old heads. We're not, like, deep in the weeds of what's good and what's bad, you know?
No. Yeah, we need to find someone. We should have a guest on at some point once we are reputable enough to.
Oh, like somebody who knows
want
things
people to want,
like,
to be on. Well, like someone who maybe like was at the age that this happened, they can speak to like how it was at the time more would be interesting, and they would probably have more recommendations for similar things.
Yeah.
Well, because this is in reading the manga, right? You said the manga is probably pretty different because originally it was Marie Antoinette and then shifted.
Yeah. Oscar was introduced like mid,
so
like, after several chapters.
Yeah. So that'll be, you know, I probably plan to get this eventually, but that'll be cool to see. Because normally it's like the anime is like a worse version of the manga in shoujo typically, but this may be the case of the opposite where it learned from like the manga, or the manga is still figuring out. And then this is like the more like well-rounded version of that story where Oscar's from the start and stuff.
Yeah, I can like streamline some parts of it.
Yeah. So yeah, this will be where, and then we're going to go back to a modern one and be like, damn, why can't they just be more dramatic here?
Oh, it's going to be like, where's all the beautiful paintings of fountains while people are collapsing in front of them? Where is that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
The melodrama. Yeah. I want to see. It's not even melodrama. It's just normal drama. Let's just see the high drama.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So. We'll get to it. But
in the meantime, if you've been enjoying this and if you've been enjoying our coverage of The Rose of Versailles, please rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice and leave a comment for the algorithm. You can say anything in the comment as long as it is nice to us or just kind of funny in general. I think that's pretty good. And that lets them know, or let people know that the show is kind of funny. We're kind of funny sometimes. And the audience, I'm sure, is also kind of funny. So please, leave some stuff there. And also tell your friends to watch this show. It's good, even though it's older. That's not necessarily a bad thing. In some ways, that works in its advantage. Mm-hmm. There is no weird CGI in this because that didn't exist at the time. So that's a plus.
Nope.
So yeah, tell them about it. Tell them to listen to the show. We appreciate any of that going on.
Yeah. For the algorithm and for us.
Yeah, that's right.
Too. We also want to see that. Yep. But yeah, I guess don't listen to your doctors.
If you are going...
Big takeaway.
If you're going to infiltrate your enemy's base, you need to have some plan. Don't just go in there surrounded by adversaries and think, I'll just find a way out. I'll just walk out the front door. What are they going to do anything to me? They wouldn't do anything to me. You got to have a plan. I don't care how mad you are that you're like... friend/guy who's in love with you got blinded because you let the bad guy do a backflip in front of you and get away. You shouldn't just run headfirst into danger for no reason. Oscar, come on, Oscar.
Well, I guess it's like normally Andres the one keeping her from doing that, and he's out of commission. So
she did the same thing with John and the other guy. Nicholas.
Yep.
Come on, Oscar. You learn from your mistakes.
Oh.
Go to the secret church meetings.
We're not learning anything.
Learn about the grievances of the people and agree with them. Come on, Oscar. You can do it. You're so close. You're so close, Oscar. I believe in you.
We'll never see her mother again. What happened to her?
I know. Who knows?
Also, Granny should be retired by now. I think it's been 30 years. My God.
True. She's been at it.
30 plus years working for this family. Take a rest. And there's like no other servants. Her and Andre are in it. I feel like they should have more than that.
I think
that.
They do. We've seen like a couple more people around, but not really.
Have we?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
until next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for listening, and See, nope.
You want me to do another one? Do I need like another like takeaway? Is this for the part where we do like a little bit? Because
I
want to
take a nap. Nope. Nope. I want to take a nap before my gaming session. So no. Nope.
Yeah, go take a nap.
We're ending it here.
Go rest your eyes. Go keep that bandage on.
Bye.
Bye.